This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom, The Garden of Peace, by Avshalom Arush, the guide to a happy and a successful marriage with Hashem's help. So we are in chapter 7. Are you near there? Yes, chapter 7. We're reading through the Hebrew version. We're on page 164. So in the first half of the book, we learned a lot of important advice on how to achieve shalom bayit. Important advice such as never criticizing your wife, putting your wife in first place above everything else in your life. And to know that she's your mirror. Hashem speaks to you through your wife. That anytime she's giving you a hard time, it's really Hashem, it's not her. She's got no choice. She's just a mouthpiece for Hashem. She's a shaliach. She's doing her job faithfully. If Hashem wants her to get upset with you, she's getting upset with you. So there's no point getting upset with your wife. In fact, it's completely wrong. You're missing the whole point. The person who gets upset with their wife, he's missing out on the guidance and instruction that Hashem is trying to tell him. But if a person follows the advice in the book, as Rav Shalom Arush says, if you read this book, you can even have shalom bayit with the devil. Guaranteed, no problems. So, in this chapter, Rav Arush brings a problem. He says, it's possible that a person can fulfill the advice given in this book and still see that he doesn't have shalom bayit. He can treat his wife wonderfully well. He can be the best the best husband in the world, buy his wife whatever she needs, give her all the attention, all the love. Still doesn't have shalom bayit. Why not? So he explains that man is judged in the heavenly courts continuously. 24 heavenly courts, one for each hour of the day. And if a person has committed sins and he hasn't done teshuva on them, so he needs to have a soul correction. He needs to be reprimanded, guided, woken up from the fact that he's done something wrong and he needs to do teshuva and not do it again. So that's a given. You can't avoid that. You can avoid it with teshuva. The person makes teshuva and then it doesn't matter what he done. Right? He can clean anything up. If he doesn't make teshuva, he needs to get a consequence as a result. Because of that, that can sometimes cause him problems in shalom bayit, because all of the creations of the world, all the creatures of the world, the entire world, are simply shlichim for Hashem. Hashem can use anything in order to give me the wake-up call that I need. And the most effective wake-up call is going to be from my wife. If it came from someone else, I might ignore it. It's easier to ignore. It's easier to blame someone else. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know who you are, why you're telling me that rebuke, why you're criticizing me, but I'm ignoring you. If it comes from your wife, you're less likely to ignore it. Still ignore it, people do, unfortunately. You're less likely to. But Hashem's best tool to try and get to us is through our wives. So even though, technically speaking, in terms of my shalom bayit obligations, I'm doing very well, could be that in my other obligations, my other Torah obligations, obligations between me and Hashem, obligations between me and my fellow man, I might not be doing very well. I might actually be cheating and stealing in business. I might be surfing the internet and looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at. Right? But at home with my wife, I'm perfect. So why don't I have shalom bayit? Because my shalom bayit is still going to get wrecked by the fact that Hashem needs to wake me up on other things. So, let's continue. We're in the midst of that section. Aklalhu shekol talu b'teshuva. The general principle here is that everything depends on teshuva. Kasher adam oseh teshuva, when a man does teshuva, as I'm. Not. Apart from the fact that the judgments that are on his head are sweetened, and he won't have any more tests. He will also have heavenly assistance to fulfill Mashiyodea at what he should do. And not to make mistakes, etc. And everything will go well for him, easily and comfortably. What's he saying? He's saying that the benefit of doing tshuva, not only you remove the judgments, so you don't have difficulties, but even if you're not doing so well, Hashem gives you siyata d'shmaya, gives you heavenly assistance to help you do what you should do and not do what you shouldn't do. So for example, if you just made teshuva, you went out to the field and you made teshuva, and you come back, and suddenly Hashem will put it into your head, oh, it's your wife's birthday today, right? Or he'll put it in your head, why don't you ask your wife if she likes a cup of tea? Whatever. He'll give you heavenly assistance so you'll have shalom bayit. And similarly, Hashem will stop you from making silly mistakes. Right, you're about to say something, and then suddenly the thought drops in your head, that's not the best thing to say in this situation. Right? Baruch Hashem, thank you for stopping me. Right? I'm gonna get siyata d'shmaya to help me in my shalom bayit. Aval kashalo aseh teshuva, but when a person doesn't make teshuva, yeshal adinim, and he has on him dinim, judgments. As I afilu b'li shehu sheyu lo nisyonot kashim. And even if he doesn't have difficult tests, pashut ein osiyata d'shmaya, then simply he won't have any siyata d'shmaya, he won't have any heavenly assistance. Afilu devarim katanim sheyachol le'atzliach b'hem, and therefore even things which are small and easy for him to achieve. Ulo matzliach, he's not going to succeed. Ba'kol mistabech lo, and everything is going to be difficult for him. Ba'olech b'koshi b'merimot, and it will all be difficult and with bitterness. Right? So even if he hasn't made any particular large sins that require a big smack on the back of the head, right? So he's not getting challenged. He still doesn't have siyata d'shmaya. And without siyata d'shmaya, he's still going to find it very difficult to actually have shalom bayit. Because like we've seen in several places, Rabbi Arash explains that man and woman don't naturally fit together. They're two opposites. I mean, we said this morning they're two halves of the same, but Tov, they're the two opposites, and they don't fit together. It's not natural for a man to get on with a woman. It's natural for a man to get on with his roommate, with a friend, with another man, because they're the same type, they think the same, they're the same, so, right? It's easy to get on with them. You act nice to him, he acts nice to you. Simple, it's not hard. But man and woman are two different entities completely, they're opposites, and that's not natural. That's why we learned earlier that shalom bayit can really only come with prayer, because it has to come from Hashem. It's not something that's natural. So if you don't have siyata d'shmaya, you don't have heavenly help, then even simple things don't go well. Right? Your wife says, come help me make the salad. So tough. What can go wrong with that? She cuts the cucumbers, you cut the tomatoes, lots. You've got the wrong knife, you've got the wrong tomatoes, you've got the wrong board, you chop them in the wrong size, I didn't want them like that. Every small things can be disaster if you haven't got heavenly assistance. Last night I was making a fruit smoothie, and I used the wrong knife and the wrong board. I used a meaty one, and she didn't want to make it meaty, so who knew, right? No siyata d'shmaya.
Well, you're not adding milk to it, are you?
No, but Toby was like, but no, she didn't want to use it because of the blade. The blade of a knife is different than a cold. Something that's cold doesn't transfer me to milk. I'm not so, but I was stuck on the halachas, right? So I also go into a halachic, right? Because it's a blade. So it transfers even though it's only cold. Normally cold things that touch each other, they don't transfer me to milk.
But normally but you're not using sharp, something sharp like an onion or
No, even without an onion. Even without an onion, I'm not 100% sure on the halakhas, which is why I don't know. But and anyway, it was going to go in the liquidizer. The liquidizer has blades, and she didn't want the liquidizer to possibly get meaty or milky from the fact that it's also got blades. Anyway, so to be safe, we just left the whole thing. Right? So we didn't have the drink. That was the end of the smoothie. There was, goes the top. Anyway, Yoffi, but it's an example of you did for everything. I mean, that's a small, it's not a big issue. Everything was fine up until then. Oh, Hashem, we took it. Okay, she was okay. No, don't worry, we'll know. Right? But that could turn into a whole, you know, who knows where that can end up. Start off with an apple, then you end up, who knows where you end up. Right? So, we need siyata dishma. Lachen, therefore. And shum eitza v'shum hadracha. Therefore, there's no advice and there's no guidance. Shechola lo il b'mikre me'il. That can help in situations like these. Milvad l'hamtik b'chol yom. Except to sweeten every day the judgments. V'ze afilu rak ayidei shah hibbodadot. And this can be done even only through 1 hour of hibbodadot. B'chol yom, every day. Because when a person does every day 1 hour of personal prayer, Shel Teshuva, and has it in there, Teshuva, Hu Mamtik Kol Adinim, he sweetens all of the judgments, as Ein Lo Yisurim, and then he doesn't have any suffering. Ki Yesh No Klal B'Torah, because there is a rule in Torah, Kasher Yesh Din Lamata, when there is judgment below, Ein din lamala, there's no judgment above. Perusha, the meaning of that is, Shevore manhig et olamo ba'ofenze, that Hashem runs the world in such a fashion, Shekasher adam omed lefanav, that when a person stands before him, umit vader al avonotav, and confesses to his sins, umit chawet aleihem, and regrets them, umakabel al atzmo shelo lashuv aleihem, and accepts upon himself not to return to doing the same thing. Azai ain't danimoto aleihem pervaitin shomala. Then they don't judge him on those things in the heavenly courts. Ubabadaisha ain't shochim lo yisurim, and for certainly therefore they don't send him any suffering. Mechabi ain't bazer shum sorah, because there's no need. Kiya yisurim ba'im, because suffering comes. Rak al manat lo awayat adam, only in order to wake up a person. Lasot shuvah, to do teshuvah al chatata, on his sins. Ve'im ha'adam mitoreh me'asmo, and if a person wakes up by himself, ro'aseh cheshbon nefesh, and does a self-reckoning, self-accounting, v'shofet et atzmo, he judges himself, al kol asakav, on everything he does, im nahag kashura or in lo, to check whether he behaved appropriately or if he didn't. Ein tov mizeh, there's no better thing than this, in the eyes of Hashem. Mikavan shekatavnu et adwin v'ki tzor nimratz. Lachen amanat ladak keitzah lasot ebodot shal mishpat karui tzarech leshmo haver diskim menoseh ebodot. Since we've written here in this chapter these matters in a very short form, therefore a person should know how to do it, what to do it, and to judge himself appropriately. Therefore, he should listen to discs of the Rav or on this subject. Also, the book Stei Hayah, which he doesn't write here because he wrote it after this book. But In Forest Fields also tells about how to do Hidbodadut appropriately. So, from this chapter, we see we need a person needs to do Teshuvah and needs to do Hidbodadut. So we should look for other sources to teach him on how to do that properly. Behine. Barachamei Hashem hamurubim b'chasto hagadol. Hashem's abundant mercy and great kindness. Al pi rov kovim b'veitin shamala hayisurim halalu yagiyu ladam davka derech ishto. Through great mercy and abundant kindness, most of the times, the heavenly courts, they give a person suffering, dafka, specifically through his wife. to God, for example, Sheila Marie Gottima, that he will have an argument with her, or busy or not, or she will criticize him, or communates her, or she will cause him any other types of suffering. Gada, and you should know. Shabbatai Zohi Rahmanuk Gadullah, should know that this is actually very great mercy, Shal Hashem of Hashem. Sheyu Rabbi Sarei Adam Beitod, that most of the suffering of a man will come through his home. And this is for a couple of different reasons. So he now explains the reasons why it's a mercy that suffering comes through your home. Sibari Shona, the first reason. Im Hayu Adinim Mitlavshim Bedvorim Shechutz Labayit. If the judgments were clothed in things that came from outside the home, Adam Loi Haya Lacholit Modenim Zeh, a man, a person, is not able to deal with that, to accept it. And it could destroy his life completely. But in the home, he can deal with the suffering a lot easier. What does it mean? Lamashal, for example. Let's say, for example, that Hashem clothed the judgment in his workplace. Ubalabai taya nitkaf nengdo, and his boss was angry against him. Umafater oto, and dismissed him, fired him. Or shechavei rav lavoda hayu rabim ito, or his colleagues at work would argue with him. Or mit naklim lo, his colleagues would argue with him. Mahaya ose, what would he do? Ozev b'chol pa'am et mekom avodah, would he leave work every time this happened? Im haya adin mitlabesh mekom halimodin, if judgments were dressed, clothed in the place that he learned, b'mekom hamagorim, or in the place that he lived, shecheinim ra'im, for example, with bad neighbors, lan haya boreh, where can he go? Harayesha labdinim shel him tikotam. He has on him judgments, and he's not able to sweeten them. They will follow him wherever he goes. And all the more so if the judgment is clothed within a specific person who's very cruel to him. Then he can't stand his life. Ulam v'beitor. Let's just hear the difference when it's at home, and then we'll come back and see what's going on here. Ulam v'beitor, but in his house. Afachad lo zorek oto me'abayit. No one's going to throw him out of the house. V'gamishto yish la batzma zorech lichyot ita. And also his wife has a need to live with him. V'hi nitna yoter lepios. Therefore, she is more likely to be appeased rather than a stranger. And also Hashem is going to act more kindly, because Hashem is also merciful on the rest of the members of the household that are dependent upon him, on his children, etc. So that was the first reason. So let's recap. So what he's saying here. First, he's saying it's a merciful kindness of Hashem that the suffering comes from your wife. Why? Because at home it's a lot easier to take. Why? Even though you might have thought the opposite. For a start, it's your home, and you can always go back there. And if it was your work, then they would kick you out, Kilo. Right, you've got no right to be there. Right? If it's neighbors or strangers, they can be cruel to you without any remorse, without any way of appeasing them. They don't have to agree with you. They don't have to get on with you. They can just be 24/7 continually upset with you. But your wife, she can't do that. She can get upset with you for a short time, And realistically, she has to get over it. Right? It can't last forever. Your neighbour you can be at war with for 20 years continuously without a smile. Right? But your wife, in most cases, even if she gets upset with you, it's only temporary. Right? Because she knows she has to be with you. And it doesn't do her any good to be against you. And also, we see that actually it's going to go easier on you. Because Hashem has mercy on the rest of your house. So even if I'm a person that is deserving of difficult suffering, and that might be dressed in the fact that my wife gets very upset and starts shouting at me and rowing at me and all sorts of not nice things, Hashem is going to have mercy on everyone. And the kids don't deserve to suffer. Why do the kids have to put the children through that? They've done nothing wrong. So actually, it won't be so bad. Hashem will have mercy on everyone and he'll make sure it all calms down and it's not so bad. But if it's your neighbor that's getting you or your boss is having a go at you, then there's no one that Hashem needs to worry about there. So it can be a lot worse. So that's reason number one. Reason number two why it's good that it comes for your wife. The second reason, Vikariyat, and the main reason is Vaveto in your house. A man is forced to wake up more through the suffering. Firstly, on account of the fact that he can't really run away or hide from the tests. And secondly, because he's got a lot more motivation to fix himself. Because any normal man doesn't want to get divorced. To fail in his life. To destroy the lives of his children, etc. And all the more so, he actually has love for his wife, he appreciates, he's grateful for her, etc. Therefore, it's certain that he will not stint on his efforts to fix what he needs to do. Right? He will put effort in. In order to live with her in peace. Therefore, it turns out that when Hashem causes the suffering to be dressed up through members of his house, if he's a serious person, he can merit through this to fix a lot of things. To improve a lot of things. The love, and what he gets from the home will strengthen him. And he will learn how to be thoughtful and considerate, etc. And therefore he will learn to fix his midot, his traits. Lasot shuva, to make shuva, etc. And other things. Behu yikareb al Hashem, and he'll come closer to Hashem. V'nimsa shebasat hakol. And it turns out that in the end, yesh lo toelet atzuma mikach. He actually has a great benefit from this. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that because a man has a great motivation to have shalom bayit with his wife, he doesn't, from the negative and the positive, on the negative side, he doesn't want to destroy his home, destroy his life, have to get divorced, ruin the kids, go through all of that. So he's going to put in a lot of effort to try and fix things. And also for the positive, he knows how good it can be to have good shalom bayit. He loves his wife in whatever way he loves her. And that's also a good motivation for the positive, that he also wants to put in an effort. So this way, Hashem can actually get us to do a lot of work that we wouldn't otherwise do. If my boss comes to me and tells me, you need to work on your B dot, you are very lazy. Thank you very much for your advice. Carry on drinking my coffee. The boss says, and if you don't, I'm going to fire you. Oh, all right, I'll put a bit more effort. You're feel nice. Maybe I'll do a little bit more. Or he'll fire me and I'll get another job, who cares? My wife comes to me and says, you're lazy. You need to sort yourself out. Okay, all right, what do I need to do? Right? I'm going to, same comment, same rebuke, same instruction, same guidance. I'm going to make a lot more effort to actually change myself. If it comes from my wife, then it comes from someone else. And that way, even though it's very difficult, and even though it's very unpleasant, I'm actually going to end up fixing a lot of things. Which is why, one of the reasons why, when a person has been married for a while, and he has good shalom by it, because he's been working on it for a long time, 5 years, 10 years, reads the books of Rav Shalom, and he still sees that his wife's rebuking him, and shouting at him, and putting, why, what's going on? I'm a better husband now than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for sure. Right? I'm much nicer to you now. I'm much more considerate, much more thoughtful. I've read this book now. I've never even heard of this book. Right? 5 years ago, I was not giving you any attention. I was doing all stupid jobs. How much better shall I buy it? Why is it now you're so angry at me? You're so shouting. Right? Well, one of the reasons is exactly this. Because it's a kindness. Hashem is using my wife because he knows that I love my wife very much now, and I've invested so much time and effort in my shalom bayit that I'm going to do everything to make sure that I've got shalom bayit and everything's good and my wife's happy and she's never upset, and I'm going to do everything for her. Hashem knows that. He's like, ah, great. Now I've got you where I want you. We're going to work on anger. We're going to work on selfishness. We're going to work on jealousy, right? Because you're going to get in the neck now. Like, oh, come on, I should give you a break. No, I should not give me a break. It's my own good. He's now going to, and the more, and Baruch Hashem, I'm growing. I'm still growing. And he's going to use my shalom bayit. He's going to use my wife as a tool for that. So a person should know that he's still doing the right thing. Right? That it's not, nothing's wrong. There's no errors. I saw the book and I treated my wife really well and I didn't criticize her. I'm still getting shouted at. Yeah, you are, but for a good reason. Hashem loves you. Hashem loves the one he rebukes. It's my own good. He's getting me to improve my midot in a way that I would never get to improve my midot. We're lazy, right? The truth is we're lazy. We don't do nothing unless we have to. So Hashem says, Tov, I'm going to give you reason to have to. And you're going to thank me later. For sure. Right? What's it, when you get to Shammai for eternity, what's eternity mean? It means you get to be you for eternity. Now that's not fun if I'm full of anger, sadness, bitterness, all the bad me not. To carry that with me for eternity?
That's hell.
Yeah, there's only me, like me and myself. Right? Nowhere to run, no escape. That's you. However, if I could clean that all up now, great. I could actually be a nice guy. I might actually get to like myself. Be very nice. To be with a tzaddik in Shabbat. Psh, very good. But how am I going to get there? So I'm not going to get give me a TV, a can of Coke, and a fat bank account. I'm not doing anything. I'm putting my feet up on the couch. You know, I'm away. But I'm going to spend 120 years doing nothing, and I go upstairs and regret it. Or I can go through boot camp down here, and it's not fun, but this is just this is not the main deal. This is just the corridor to the banquet. But Rav Hashem, we'll all get towards the banquet in a very good shape.